BYUSN, welcome to your official 2024 postseason BYU basketball show. What was the most impressive stat for the Cougars in their first Big 12 campaign? And what can BYU replicate next season? Plus, where does Gary Bohannon rank among the other Big 12 quarterbacks? I don't think you'll like it, but will it help push him and the BYU QBs to another level?
Lauren Gustin is in studio after playing in an All-Star game at the Final Four weekend and ahead of the WNBA draft on Monday. And pitcher Cutter Klaassen talks about his performance against Utah in another big win for the Batcats.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, April 10th. I am Spencer Linton. He is a man who is enjoying yet another BYU victory over Utah, Jerome Jordan.
Always awesome to beat that team up north, 7-3 last night. Winners of 3 of 4 now for BYU baseball, Spence. And the Cougars get it done again in Salt Lake. Let's go. Nice series against Texas. Now a win against Utah. Baylor coming into town tomorrow.
Keep it rolling against the Bears. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
I just hope they also remember what they're really good at, how they need to bring that again next year. There's so many good things to take from this season and so much momentum that I don't see why we wouldn't perform at a high level going into next year.
What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Let's go ahead and tip off this 2024 BYU basketball postseason show. I'm calling it that. It's not officially that, but that's what we're calling it today on the show.
I like it.
What went so well for BYU as we review and then spend a little time previewing next season? And what can BYU replicate? Let's start with what went so well for BYU this season, Jerem.
There was a lot. You talk about 23-11, 10-8 in league, tied for fifth. Tied for fifth? Are you kidding me? After being picked 13th. Sixth seed in the NCAA tournament. Overall seed was 17, obviously, bracketing principles of Sunday play and Big 12 in the second round matchup. You get pushed to a 6 from a 5. Net was 12 when the dust settled. 12! Are you kidding me? KPI 30, strength record 21, BPI 17, KenPom ends up at 18. Okay, quad one, 6 quad one wins, Spence, 6-8. 5-3 in quad two, so 11-11 in quad one and two, which is really good.
4 wins over ranked teams for the first time in BYU basketball history in the regular season.
The most they had was 2 against 2 different ranked teams. And then no bad losses, 12-0 in quad 3 and 4. That was awesome. You look at the efficiency in points per possession, 14th in offensive efficiency, 18th in points per possession. Amazing. Top 20 offense. Defense, 60th in efficiency, which to me is pretty good. That's upper sixth.
Exactly. It's top 15%
in
the country.
I like it. And then points per possession allowed, even better, 40th. So those are really good metrics. This was a tremendous season by BYU. Obviously, we would have liked a first-round win against Duquesne. We've said it ad nauseum. So the answer is, what's repeatable from what I just listed there? I think that offensive efficiency is, Spence. I think BYU can be a top 25 team again. I think they have a lot of weapons. I think that the offense is diverse in that you can throw it into Foose. Ali Khalifa can create a unique five-out system where he passes back door to Noah Waterman and others. You creating open threes, which brings me to my second point. I think that BYU can be a top three, get threes up team again.
Yes.
32 a game. I think that they can get to 30-plus again next year.
Why would that change? The formula works.
Yeah.
It works, and it's what BYU is built to do.
It's how they got to the NCAA tournament. It's how they beat Kansas. It's how they had success. The other thing, I think bench points can stay the same as well. BYU was top 5 in bench points in the country at 33 a game. I think going to have a deep bench again. It might even be deeper because you're going to add a little bit. You add Colin Chandler and Dawson Baker. And then Isaac Davis, and who knows if you add any more else from the portal. I'd imagine there's one or two more players that will come in. I think in those three areas, you can replicate that. And then I want to hear what you want to get better, but I think there are areas, obviously, BYU can improve.
Yeah, on the surface, expecting BYU to be 16 in KenPom and 12 in net when the season's over. And at one point, they we're a top 5 KenPom team and number 1 in the net. Like, it's going to be tough to get to those specific numbers at any point next season. But that's not – it's more about just being in the vicinity of the final season numbers for BYU, and I think they can do that. And here's why. What's BYU losing? I know that they're probably going to lose Jackson Robinson, but to your point yesterday, Jackson Robinson wasn't scoring 22 points a game.
Yeah.
He was scoring 14
good number,
change.
But not a crazy number.
Okay, and he was coming off the bench, for crying out loud. He was playing starter minutes, but BYU can replace that void of points scored and those other statistical numbers from Jackson Robinson and Spencer Johnson. They can do so with the emergence of Dawson Baker.
Yes.
And a healthy Ali Khalifa. A healthy Ali Khalifa should help out. Colin Chandler back from his mission. What does Isaac Davis do on this team? Is he even asked to do anything in year one? There will be enough from BYU's core and the additions to help replace the void that Jackson Robinson would leave if he decides to go pro, and I think he will. But why would I expect BYU to all of a sudden take this big dip? Basically everybody is back. And if that core is back, you would think that they will at least maintain. I mean, why would they get worse? I want to hear the logic of from somebody that's like, well, maybe Jackson Robinson was a glue guy and he made certain things happen that others can't. Fine. But is it going to make that big of a difference? I don't think it will, because there are so many players back. If you want specific numbers, BYU can change their mentality of being more aggressive going to the basket. Like, they will have the capability to earn some more free throw line trips, and Dawson Baker should help with something
and
like
Colin
that.
And Colin Chandler.
That was a number where BYU really, that was where BYU really struggled. So now it's not just Dallin Hall.
Yep.
It's Dawson Baker and Dallin Hall and maybe Colin Chandler as well. So the Cougars should have an uptick there. The numbers, again, in KenPom and Annette, it might be a little bit lower, but I don't expect it to be that much lower. I think they'll be a top 25 team in both of those most important sorting tool metrics for the tournament selection committee.
Other things I want BYU to get better at. I want BYU to be a top 40 defensive efficiency team.
Okay.
They were coming out of non-con. Obviously, playing in the Big 12 is tougher. They fell to 60. I'm not calling for like a top 25 defense per se, because if you're top 25 in offense and defense, you should probably be like a top four seed, right? I'm not calling for that per se. Three-point percentage, I'd like to go up a little bit. 34.8 was pretty good, but I'd like to see that in 35.5 and 36%.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Like, if you average it up.
As a team, pretty good. You have a lot of good shooters, right? And then I want more free throws. BYU was bottom 20 in the country in percentage of points from the line. It was 15% about. I'd like that to be a tick higher. BYU successfully beat Iowa State and Texas because they got to the line more. I would like to see BYU be a little more aggressive on the drive. You're going to draw more fouls that way.
The hard part for BYU to try and get better defensively this go-around is that Cahill Fennell, your defensive coordinator, is now the head coach somewhere
else. You got to bring in somebody else or reassign somebody else.
So how will that impact BYU's ability to get better as a defensive team? Again, the natural inclination of fans and of us in the media is to think, okay, if you bring back the majority of what was a really good team last year, you should get a little bit better. Like, there's natural progression. Doesn't always work that way, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's not guaranteed, but the hope is that that happens.
But, we hope that
It shorted last year.
We hope that trend reigns supreme for BYU. Because right now, I'm telling you, why would I expect BYU to all of a sudden just become a team that is much worse than they were this year when you have basically all of the key parts back?
Are you supplying more skill and experience than you had with Jackson Robinson and Spencer Johnson with the newcomers? The experience, no, absolutely not. But you talk about the talent of Colin Chandler. Like, Colin Chandler coming out of high school has NBA-level talent based on where he is ranked, as high as 28 at one point, 32 as we sit right now. That is exciting. We need to let this kid develop before we use those three letters per se, but you can't be ranked that high and us not be excited about you. And then Isaac Davis is like Yoli Childs light in terms of what his skill set is coming out of high school.
Yeah.
Give him time to develop as well. What can Dawson Baker become? True kind of X factor for BYU, Y factor, if you will. It's super exciting. And then can you continue to build? Ali Khalifa, is that the worst physically we're going to see him? Because he was banged up. He didn't have a good knee. What does a healthy Ali Khalifa look like? Is he the guy that's yamming against UCF a little more? Like, that guy was awesome. And his ability to make threes, he made 29 threes. Didn't shoot it particularly well. Didn't go to the basket a ton in the post last year. Are we going to see more of that from him? Or is it more of the I'm a facilitator on the outside? Does BYU bring in a shot blocker that affects sort of the rotation in some capacity?
A rim protector.
We'll see.
Is there a metric that shows you a team can get better when they are not making threes? Like, can BYU generate other ways to create points when three-pointers are not falling? They did it on occasion, but clearly that was, as Sean Farnham pointed out multiple occasions, BYU, when the threes are not dropping, they need to find other ways quicker in those games to engage in the combat zone and find other ways to score.
Get at the rim. Get to the line.
So
the mid-range is not going to happen in this offense. It's just an inefficient shot.
Yeah.
Look at the NBA. Look at the way – I know the Jazz are struggling this year, but the way they play is the model. That's how they got a one seed 3 years ago, is layups or threes. I read a book by John Calipari a couple years ago. He's like, why would you shoot a mid-range ever?
Shoot a bunch of threes.
It's layups or threes.
Layups, free throws as well.
Yeah.
If you want to track metrics and see that BYU is able to do that, maybe you look at the percentage of two-point shots they take around the rim and how many free throws you shoot. I would like to see maybe some upticks in both of those categories, because the reliance on the three-point shot will burn you at times. It did for BYU this year. It will.
But it will get you on fire, too.
But was mostly good. Like, it was like good. 80% good for the season.
23-3, final tally, 32% and up.
That's wild.
That's pretty good.
This is who BYU is. They're built to do this, and I think it's going to continue.
Topic two, Gary Bohannon listed as the 15th best quarterback in the Big 12 from College Football Report on Twitter. What do you make of this? Because that would be second lowest.
Well, first of all, there are a lot of really good quarterbacks in the Big 12.
Indeed, there are.
Okay, Shedeur Sanders, the caller. Noah Fifita, Arizona. Jalen Daniels is back again at Kansas, and he's healthy.
Cam Rising's not one!
Cam Rising's number four. Garrett Green's good player. BYU knows it. KJ Jefferson, for crying out loud, the Arkansas transfer, is number 11.
Dude, I forgot he's in the Big 12.
Alan Bowman.
BYU's playing him again. Oh,
Oklahoma
boy.
State's quarterback in his ninth year, whatever it is. He's number 10. Okay? So, at first when I saw...
We can't make fun of that because Garrett's a seventh-year guy.
Yeah, it's true.
So is
15,
Cam Rising.
I was like, 15 for Gary Bohannon. Whoa, that's yikes. But I looked at the list. There are so many good, polished, experienced
good
quarterbacks
players
in the Big 12. I think if Gary Bohannon is healthy, he's better than the 15th best quarterback on this list.
Where then?
Probably around somewhere around Daquan Finn and KJ Jefferson. Probably up around the 11 or 12.
How is KJ Jefferson that low, by the way?
That's crazy, right?
I would put
I put him above Alan Bowman and Josh Hoover.
Like Avery Johnson at 7 is really interesting because he showed some really big flashes. Like being the guy the whole time, what is that going to look like for him at Kansas State? Because, he looks like Sunshine from Remember the Titans. It's really fun. He can run the rock. Yes, the hope is that Gary Bohannon can, like, crack the top 10 and BYU can be like an 8-win team. And who's to say it's not Jake Retzlaff, by the way? Like, just automatically Gary Bohannon? I'd have a slash there. On Gary slash Jake.
Just put BYU quarterbacks,
BYU
number 15.
QB, TBD, like whoever it is. Because we don't know it's Gary. We don't know that it's Jake at the moment. But, this conference has some really good quarterbacks. It's going to be fun to watch these guys sling it. And BYU faces some of these top guys, facing Fifita and Daniels and Rising.
The top four.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, three of the top four
not
BYU.
Not playing Shedeur Sanders this year, but, like, whew. Oh, my gosh. We were really hoping Colorado would be on the schedule, but it wasn't.
Not the case.
15, like, if Gary Bohannon or Jake Retzlaff is truly 15, it's like, oh, we're talking about barely making a bowl game or not again.
Yeah, probably.
I would think.
If that's how
it shakes out, the hope is that that's not the case.
BYU has been picked to finish second to last in a few things. Basketball, we just referenced, they were picked to finish second to last and finished fifth. If Gary Bohannon can crack the top 10 Big 12 quarterbacks, as you were pointing out.
Or Jake,
then BYU is probably going to win 7 or 8 games.
I would like that. I'll take 7 right now. BYU's building. BYU's not in a challenge for the Big 12 kind of year this year walking in.
I hope he's motivated. And frankly, I hope you all go listen to
this should help.
The Deep Blue podcast that Gary Bohannon did with Jason Shepherd. It's really good. He talks about
part one
miniature goals and just like, can I throw the ball again? Can I complete a 10-yard pass? Like it was his
arm. He didn't think he'd play again.
Had to be restructured and surgically repaired in a lot of ways.
Shoulder, right?
Yeah, the shoulder. So it's like he had very miniature goals, and so he's just built on all of those things until you put a bunch of those together, they become medium-sized goals, and then when you accomplish medium-sized goals, then you can start dreaming a little bit bigger for sure. But it was a fascinating conversation, so I encourage everyone to listen to it. Really good if you want some insight into what Gary Bohannon's been dealing with. If his shoulder's actually good, and because we know he can run, Jeremy, we know he's super athletic and that he can extend plays, and he's, in large part, he's at his best when things are out of system and the play is breaking down. He just can extend plays. But if he can make some throws off kilter, off system, and extend some plays for BYU, that's where the Cougars could really do some damage with an experienced wide receiver core.
I wonder where BYU is going to be picked in the Big 12 this year. Out of 16 teams.
I think 14.
Somewhere in the 12 to 16 range. I don't think BYU will be last. I don't think they'll be second to last, but they could very well be, as you said, 14, 13, 12, somewhere in that range.
Arizona State, Cincinnati, Houston, BYU are all kind of in that conversation.
Yeah, the bottom four or five right there, based on what they did last year and what they have coming back.
Yeah, Baylor is also in that conversation.
Yeah.
Massive restructuring of their coaching staff aside from Dave Aranda.
Right.
And they struggled last year.
Yeah. No, there's some...
BYU is going to be somewhere in the bottom five.
Being a power five. And whatever you thought you got to know in the Big 12, reset, because it's a new league with four new teams, two are out. Like, it is a reshuffling of the deck, which is kind of fun, actually.
Yeah, fascinating stuff for sure. Some basketball discuss, some football discuss.
By the way, Caleb Loner in the transfer portal today. Crazy.
Do BYU
fans, good old Caleb.
Are they going to reach out to Caleb? Where is he going to go? I think, honestly, he should probably pick a Mountain West school and try and go be a star his final year.
I want him to succeed. I like him.
I would love to see him play well, wherever he ends up, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, our question of the day. Because it is National Siblings Day. Did you know that?
National Siblings
Day. National Siblings
Day. I'm going to reach out to my siblings.
Yes. Brothers and sisters on BYU Sports Nation. Who are your favorite siblings in BYU athletics history? And there have been
some plethora.
Great ones for sure. At @PaulEvans_5 on X answers, if your answer isn't the Nakuas, you're lying.
That's a good one.
Kai and Samson, Puka, and now Tay with BYU.
And Isaiah.
And Isaiah.
Jonah Arizona on X. Gunner and Baylor Romney. The first brother-to-brother touchdown combination in Cougar football history. That was cool.
I like this one from Matthew. Absolutely. I like this one from Matthew Kurtz.
Former BYU soccer player.
The Sander. So it's not Sanders. It's Taylor Sander and Brendan Sander, singular. But if they're
the
together,
Sanders.
It's the Sanders
yes.
brothers.
They never actually played together, right? But there was a four-year overlap. And you don't have to. There was a four-year Taylor, four-year Brendan. It was eight straight years.
Of a Sander.
Of a Sander.
and they were high level.
Awesome.
They were incredible.
That was so fun. Trust me, your boy really enjoyed
that.
They went
to a bunch of national championship matches.
After Taylor's final home match, I just sat there and soaked it in. I was last one in the Smithfield house. I was like, oh, man.
I was with you.
Yeah.
It was after the MPSF championship.
Yeah, and I was like, leave so I can be the last one.
Yes, and you were.
Just kidding. Check out the aforementioned latest Deep Blue podcast with Shep. Part one with Gary Bohannon. He talks about overcoming an injury to his shoulder, setting small goals, his faith in God, and more. Check it out wherever you find podcasts. I can't wait for part two.
Up next, BYU basketball's all-time leading rebounder, Lauren Gustin, joins us to discuss her senior season, playing in an all-star game, and what her plans are after BYU. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is sponsored by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Gustin sealed the defender on her backside.
And knock it down!
Really, really nice ball movement.
An all-timer, Lauren Gustin of BYU Women's Basketball. We welcome you back to BYUSN alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. And you know how we plan it. We typically show the highlights of who we're about to interview. So
it'd be really funny if we suddenly
here she is.
What's up, Lauren? How you doing?
What's up? I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you.
What's it like to watch a bunch of highlights of yourself again and again and again?
Oh, it makes me miss being on the court already. So
for sure. Well, it hasn't been that long since you've been on the court. You just recently competed in a college all-star game. 15 points, 15 rebounds. Ho-hum, double-double, right on your average of sorts. What was that like for you to compete in the College All-Star Game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was awesome. Not only was it fun to be back on the court, but it was fun to compete against some other really good girls and to have such great coaches and players around. It was great vibes the whole time. And, you know, we had Aaliyah Boston right on the sideline. You know, Kelsey Plum was helping run our offensive sets. And, it was super fun.
Cheryl Miller was your coach.
Yep.
One of the greatest players ever. What was that like?
It was awesome. She was filled with, you know, so much education and just hearing her, you know, talk and explain things, you can tell that, you know, she really does know it all. And, you know, really fun lady, super funny. Got along well with her, I think. She made the game a lot of fun, so a lot of fun.
What's it like for you to be recognized in that fashion by, you know, notable people and to be invited to something like that?
Yeah, it was definitely an honor. I felt super privileged to be there. And, you know, made me appreciate BYU even more. And, you know, having the opportunity that I had to be able to play here and have the career that I had here just made me appreciate, you know, all those people that contributed to that and, you know, this university, so.
Not bad for someone the Big 12 didn't mention on the preseason. I'm still not over it.
We'll never be over that.
We saw such an explosion this season and obviously over the weekend with record-setting TV viewership in the women's game, highlighted by Caitlin Clark's stardom and whatnot. What's it been like to see the game grow in this way over the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think it's about time, you know. I think it was just a matter of time till, you know, everyone kind of started tuning in and whatnot. And Caitlin Clark has had a huge impact on that, which it's been so fun to be able to be a part of that generation and watch that and see that growth, especially just from my freshman year to now my senior year. I feel like the game has changed so much as far as, you know, people talking about it and coming and whatnot. So I saw that the women's national championship, you know, had more than the men's, is that right? Yeah, and I'm not even surprised, honestly. I feel like this year women's basketball was talked about all over the place, so.
Star power is powerful,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And these individual personalities and skill sets are cool. I think it'll translate into the WNBA. We've already seen it with ticket prices.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Indiana Fever, like, obviously we're picking Cleveland, jacking up the prices. Uh-huh. It's going to be fun season there, too.
Yeah, it'll be fun to be able to see her carry on that, too.
And hopefully compete against her.
Yeah.
That's wild. I mean, when you think about it, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and Cardoso from South Carolina and Juju Watkins at USC and Lauren Gustin at BYU, who is the leading rebounder. You rebounded better than everybody else. And talk about competition and exposure going up. BYU going into the Big 12 certainly took an uptick there. What was it like to go from the WCC to the Big 12 now that you've gone through it and it's over?
Yeah. It's definitely a lot more, you know, intense, I feel like, in every aspect of the game. You know, girls are very physical, strong, and talent-wise, you know, I feel like everyone on the team can go off any night, you know. And, you know, the coaches, all super high level and educated well. And just every practice felt more intense, too, because, you know, you're going to compete against, you know, another ranked team that week. And then obviously the games, super fast. I thought, you know, WCC was intense my first couple years, and then going to the Big 12, it just was a whole different level. Obviously, girls are a lot stronger, like I had mentioned, but it was so much fun to be able to compete against a whole different level of, you know, competition and talent, and I'm super happy I was able to have at least 1 year in the Big 12.
And yet you maintain those stats, which is pretty awesome. What's the WNBA prospects for you right now since the draft is coming up on Monday?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's already here.
It happens quick.
Yeah, it does.
Is there time for you to go to a combine or?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've worked out for teams or how.
Yeah,
that's going.
Really, just yeah. It's crazy how quick it comes up. I entered my name into the draft a couple of days ago. Actually, I was a little late to the ball. Just kind of weighing different options and whatnot. You know, trying to see what's the best route for me as far as, you know, my body and everything like that. We'll see what happens. I'm still considering a couple different options still and whatnot, but I want to at least get my name in just to have that as an option.
What are some of those options?
Whether I want to, you know, play in the W or maybe go overseas, or if, you know, I want to maybe get into a coaching experience or if I want to go a whole different route and, you know, maybe go back to more school for to get my master's or, you know, just a couple different options. Yeah, just, you know, going to see what I'm going to do. But I want to be able to have all the doors opened. Awesome.
It's great to be multifaceted and multi-talented. Yes, and that you are.
I would not know what
Lauren,
that's like.
Lauren Gustin is with us on BYU Sports Nation. What kind of feedback did you get at the College All-Star Game that maybe influenced you to throw your name in the WNBA draft?
Yeah, well, I think just being around all those people and coaches and players and just hearing their experience in the W or their goals that they want to have in the W or just being around the game of basketball again and feeling all the love and education that all these people knew and had for basketball was super eye-opening for me. I think just being in that environment, you know, was appealing and, you know, it made me inspired to want to, you know, maybe keep playing and whatnot. And then just hearing, you know, we had a lot of W players there just talking about their experience and how much fun it is. And then talking to some W coaches, just too, hearing, you know, kind of their routine and the fun of that league and everything it comes with was, that made me want to play.
Yeah.
And then also just being around all the girls I was with, they all have declared and they're all super excited and pumped. And then being able to play again on the court, just, you know, I had so much fun playing again. I just didn't really want that to be my last experience playing.
Yeah, there's part of you that is, as you mentioned, considering perhaps not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's due to, I just think, the wear and tear of my body. I feel like... obviously, the way that I like to play is very physical, right? And then taking that to a whole new level in the pros, you know, I'm going to have to up my physicality. I'm going to have to up everything. And just wanting
it feels like there's not a lot of space for that.
Yeah.
Given how hard you already go, right?
I just want to make sure that my body is 100% healthy for, you know, whatever team that I go play for.
And the grind of a long season.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that I'm at, you know, my best to be able to give them my best. So I just gotta, you know, make sure the body's all healthy and everything's good for another season. So.
And it is tricky because you don't have a massive gap before the WNBA season, right? It's not like you'd have an off season. You'd go
right
into the next one.
Yeah. So just kind of seeing if everything's good for me.
Lauren Gustin is on BYU Sports Nation. As you put on the coaching cap for a moment, okay, and maybe this will be in your future somewhere, but
we
like
have a
right,
whistle we can hand
right now, what coaching advice would you give to BYU women's basketball as they try and take the next step up in Big 12 play?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. Honestly, I would just say to keep grinding and keep working hard. You know, I love those girls and they come in every single day ready to compete and ready to fight. And that was what was so much fun playing with them is, you know, everyone wanted to win. And I would say just keep doing what you guys are doing and just find ways to work on your weaknesses and whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, I wish I could go out another year with them.
Yeah.
I'm excited to build
Oh, we do too, Lauren.
Can't find another year? I'm sure there's some somewhere.
I know. It's hard for me to let go already. I don't want to get out of those group chats or stop attending things because those are my girls. And just even being in the annex and the facilities feels like my, like, home. So it's gonna be really hard for me to let go of all that. But, you know, I mean, I'm excited to be able to watch them play. And we have some great freshmen coming in. And just being able to see different girls step up and see them grow and whatnot is going to be super fun.
Have you played with Delaney Gibb?
No, I have not. No, I don't think I have. She's come and watched a couple practices and things and whatnot, but I've never been able to actually be on the court with her.
She's at the Nike Hoops Summit right now with Team Canada.
Yeah.
She's coming to Provo, baby. She's going to be a big-time player. I want to follow up on a story from Kaylee Woolston when she came in here and talked about her mission call.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like the funnest, weirdest thing you've ever experienced where she just told you, just blurted out what it was to you guys after practice? Or
something? The way she did it was very casual.
it's kind of a formal thing.
It was right before we went to weights. Yeah. And so she just kind of threw out. So all of us were just kind of like, oh, wow.
all right.
But
going to Baltimore. Yeah.
I think that's what's so awesome about BYU is having girls that are willing to, you know, to go and you know, be selfless and go serve God, and it's so accepted by everyone around us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes, you know, it's so special here is just having her say that, and all of us are just so happy for her and so excited for her and seeing her excitement. Just, you know, kind of makes everyone's testimony grow a little bit. So
what player and person like her suddenly steps away?
Yeah.
After a freshman year like that, that is a notable sacrifice.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think it shows how, you know, who Kaylee is as a person, that, you know, how much she loves God. And, you know, ball is a big part of her life, but, you know, she's more than just a basketball player. Yep. So I think that was just showing a good example to the girls and also Cougar Nation. So
sometimes you're just so excited, you got to tell people.
Baltimore!
That was so funny. I was like, what? And like, you just wanted to go on a mission a month ago?
Yeah,
you
know, I know.
It's a very quick process, right? Yeah.
Okay, Lauren, you've had so many great experiences, memories, games at BYU. What's one or two that stick out top of mind when you look back on all the things you experienced in games as a BYU basketball player?
Yeah, well, just this past season, I would say our game at home against Baylor was so much fun.
That was epic. That was epic.
Yeah. That was such a fun game, just being so connected with, I feel like all of us were just connected and everything was flowing right for us. And just to be able to come out and compete like that and kind of feel all the work come together, was that was so much fun. And just be able to have such a big win at our home place, you know, I think that was huge for us and got us some momentum rolling into, you know, our next couple games. So that was always going to be a top memory for me, just because of everything that came with that game. Obviously my rebounding game where we got that board, that was just a special moment to be able to have with my teammates after the game. Just feeling all that love and support from everyone was super big. And yeah, that made me appreciate everyone, you know, so much more. And if I look at, you know, back in the past seasons, that our win against Rutgers, the first round, that one was always going to be a top memory for me too. Just being able to experience that with, you know, those girls and having that upset feeling and having that be the first, you know, NCAA tournament that I had gone to was always going to be a big memory. So
that was awesome.
Great stuff, man. Mm-hmm. You've experienced a lot of great things. We appreciate all you've done for BYU and BYU Athletics, and we wish you the best moving forward. Can't wait to see what happens.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Lauren, for everything.
Okay, you can always check out Lauren's, you know, Lauren's highlights and a lot of Spencer Linton on BYUSN.com and the free BYU
Jared, we want people to watch, not avoid.
A lot of Lauren then.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Up next, which BYU team is the best team in the state of Utah over the last year? The people have voted.
I wonder if it's soccer.
This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Feel like we should do today's headlines. So let's do it.
Baseball beat Utah 7-3, led by Cooper Vest, who had a couple of hits, three runs, including this solo bomb in the fourth.
Crushes one to right. Sixth home run of the season for Vest. And BYU goes back in front 2-1.
Is that Roxy Bernstein on the call?
It is old Roxy Bernstein. We love Roxy. It's Cougars host Baylor for a three-game series starting tomorrow at 8 Eastern right here on BYU Radio and Big 12 Now on ESPN+.
BYU softball not as fortunate in their in-state game yesterday, losing to Utah Valley, an in-county game for that matter, 12-10. BYU trailed 12-5, climbed back in the game, made it interesting late in the seventh inning, including this home run from Violet Zavodnik.
This one, take it out to deep center field, and gone. A solo shot for Zavodnik. That makes it 12-10.
BYU's had a flair for the dramatic this year, for sure. Several games they've won late and
in crazy
fashion. Just not enough right there. BYU, well, it gets a lot easier for him, Jerem. All they have to do is travel to Norman and face the juggernaut number 2 Oklahoma for a three-game Big 12 series starting this Thursday at 7.
They've already beaten a top 5 team from Oklahoma.
They have done that. They have done that.
Final men's basketball AP poll rankings came out yesterday. Men's basketball finishes the season fourth out. Cougars spent 16 weeks ranked in the top 25, as high as number 12.
BYU women's golf finishing the Texas Showdown in Dallas, sixth place after defeating UNLV yesterday 3-2, but falling to Texas State 3-1-1. Maria Jose Barragan was the sole Cougar to win both of her matches yesterday. The team heads to the Big 12 Women's Championship starting April 18th.
Women's soccer is named the State of Sport Utah Team of the Year. Last season, the Cougars were a one seed in the NCAA tournament, reached the College Cup, and had five players drafted into the NWSL.
Daniel Schneeman recorded a hit for the Columbus Clippers in AAA baseball in yesterday's 13-4 win against the Louisville Bats. He's hitting .286 on the young AAA season.
I know they're the Bats as in like Louisville Slugger, but I wish they were like a bat.
Like an actual bat?
Yeah,
like
so
Batman?
Bad. Yes,
exactly. Those are today's headlines.
That'd be so bad.
Have some opinions in the whip. The Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
It's National Siblings Day. Who are your favorite BYU siblings?
This is the impossible question to answer because there have been so many. Who are
we
your
know
favorites?
So many. Yeah.
The Haas brothers are outstanding and meant so much to BYU basketball.
Love
their dad,
guys.
Marty, played here as well.
Generational.
Currently, the Agbayani sisters in BYU softball are doing some awesome
Pretty
work.
Good.
Alea and Ilana.
Yeah.
I mean, what about you?
I happen to really like, well, I like a lot of them, but I really like the Bowers. The
yes.
Bowers know that
oh,
I love them.
They're fantastic.
There was a fun Bower to Bower moment 2 years ago. Morgan to Whitney to Eden.
Yes.
On a play. Like, that's so unique and amazing.
Yeah. The cool. Kafusis, huge name.
A million of them.
The Hampsons.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, all-timers
yep.
for sure.
Love it.
Okay, question. Will you root for Tony Finau at the Masters, even though he is an announced Utah fan, but was a BYU golf commit at one point?
It's mainly about his membership in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But yes, yeah, absolutely. Tony's a great dude.
I would love to see Tony Finau win the Masters.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
That would be incredible.
Join Mike Weir.
Yes.
Steve Young posted on Twitter the following, me watching the eclipse yesterday. What's better, his realization that he looks like the guy in this painting or his use of the deal with it glasses?
It's all so good. Whoever's helping Steve with his social media accounts deserves a raise.
Is doing a great job.
I want to give Steve all the credit, but I know it's not all Steve.
Steve looks just like that guy. If you've seen that painting, he is
he
that
does.
Guy. It's crazy.
Steve's got a great social media team
yes,
working for him right now.
And it's me. Join us on Saturday, April 27th at noon Eastern time as we'll be at a fan fest, not wearing that stuff, but maybe, in Dallas.
Please come hang out with us in Dallas, April 27th. Up next, clutch closer Cutter Klaassen joins us to discuss BYU baseball's big win over Utah and their recent success. This is BYU SN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are back in the Cougar Council Room alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton. It's time we celebrate the success of BYU baseball and do so after their recent victory over the rivals to the north with one of their pitchers. Cutter Klaassen is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Cutter, welcome to the show.
Hello, Cutter.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Basically two innings of perfect pitching from you last night. It's one thing to do that just in general, but to do it against Utah, what was that like for you to go out there and pitch a couple of meaningful innings in that rivalry game?
Oh, it was great. It was good to be out there. The energy was high, especially coming in right after we took the lead. So energy was great, vibes were great, and then to do it against Utah, you know, can't be better than that.
Do you ever stare anybody down after you strike them out?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, that's what I did. It happened.
How you guys feeling as a team coming off an awesome series win at Texas and then you beat Utah?
Yeah, no, it was great. The ball's rolling and we're just doing what we can. You know, we're playing baseball. It's a lot of fun. Everyone is just having a really good time. You know, that's the end goal, right? It's to have fun out there and to get wins. And, you know, we're doing it, so it can't get much better.
What changed after losing six in a row and then you've gone on a nice streak here?
Yeah, so... you know, Trent pulled us in and he was like, guys, like, you know, we got to play our game. And so we kind of just controlled what we could and we're starting to play our baseball, which is great. And it's been very clean and it's been, you know, a bunch of dogfights, you know, against Texas and, you know, then against Utah. We've been showing heart throughout the whole game, which, you know, has been pretty awesome.
Cutter Klaassen is with us on BYU Sports Nation, BYU baseball pitcher. The Cougars have won four straight. We need to get into the origin of your name, Cutter, because is there a better baseball name for a pitcher than Cutter?
Right. Tell us about the origin of that.
So that's the funny thing. So my dad did grow up playing baseball, love baseball. My mom's love sports and things like that. And they were just watching a movie. And I guess they heard the name or something like that. And they both looked at each other and they're like, yep, that's his name. My mom was pregnant with me at the time and they couldn't really decide. And, you know, they heard the name and that's exactly what they knew.
So it's not in reference to a pitch per se, it's the movie, they just heard the name and liked it.
Yeah, that's kind of the funny thing. It's not the pitch and I don't throw a cutter.
Oh, come on!
Like, when my fastball is cutting, I know I'm kind of doing something wrong. So,
nobody needs to know that. Oh, a little cut on that fastball.
That's hilarious.
What is your best pitch?
Oh, man. I've really been liking my changeup lately. It has a lot of dive to my arm side, and it plays really well off my two-seam fastball. But my fastballs are pretty good when they're located and stuff. They're moving. But, you know, my changeup lately has been my favorite pitch for sure.
Changeup Claussen doesn't have quite the same ring that cutter Claussen does, but okay then. Tell us the mindset of, like you said, you came in last night, as a middle reliever, and you've got the lead. Sort of that mindset versus if the score's tied versus if you're behind.
Yeah, you know, it is like kind of going out there. It's like, all right, like time to get to business. But at the same time, when the score's tied or it's close, you kind of just have to have the same mindset to be able to just to close the door, you know, late in the game and stuff like that. In the eighth inning is, you know, pretty sweet to have a lead like that for sure. Makes you feel a little bit better and stuff like that. But I guess from a pitching perspective, can't really have a big difference in your attitude and stuff like that because you still have to get the job done. So it's just kind of one out of time, one pitch at a time.
Is it lonely up there as a pitcher? Like, take us to the mound a little bit there.
I wouldn't say so. We're actually, something I love about this team is we're so verbal, right? You know, I got Cooper Vest at first base. He's talking to me as I'm going, right?
Cooper's hair is loud too.
It's very loud. Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, we got the guys in the dugout chattering and stuff like that. So it's not, I want to say it's very lonely. And you know, we can lean on that. Like when times do get tough, maybe you're behind the count, you take a deep breath, you hear your boys chatting you up. It's pretty great. But you don't really pay much attention to it. I don't know. I kind of just go out there and pitch, I guess. But
so you can hear stuff, but you kind of zone in on just you and the catcher, I assume.
Yeah, kind of as you know. Once you get the sign, after that, it's more just all right. Like you know, let's get to work. And yeah. It's kind of easy as you know, get in motion and stuff like that, just to block everything out.
Cutter Claussen is on BYU Sports Nation. To steal a phrase from one of my favorite baseball movies, it's an off-the-radar one, For Love of the Game with Kevin Costner. Yeah. He says, clear the mechanism. And then yep. He's able to zone in on the catcher. I need you to do your homework, and I need you to go watch this movie, Cutter, okay?
Yeah, okay?
It's a love story. I don't know if you can handle it.
Love
but there's
it.
A, there's a lot of baseball in there
those
as well.
Are the best.
Speaking of love, what do you love more, beating the rivals Utah or winning a series at Texas?
Oh, man. Being Utah is always great, you know, always tastes real good. But that series in Texas was a dogfight. It was great. You know, everyone did their job. We got things done. Colin Reuter came up big for us in that last game.
Dude, he was amazing.
It was quite, you know, quite the victory. Pretty sweet. But, you know, leading up to that, you know, the games prior, some guys did some big things too. So it was, you know, it was a battle. But probably one of the coolest series that I've ever been a part of, for sure.
How is year one in the Big 12?
It's been sweet. You know, it's been really cool. You know, we came in. You know, we have it posted. You know, right before we go in our locker room. You know, the pre-season rankings and stuff like that. The prediction, right, is. You know, we don't like that, right? So we see it. You know, puts us in a mood every day. All right, you know, we got to get to work. We got to get this done. We know where we belong. You know, we're fighting. You know, there's been some big games where, you know, we've won, and then there's big games where we've not really lost by much. There's games where we we're competing, which I think is really great. And we're putting the pieces together, and we're, you know, the ball's rolling. So I think it's pretty great. We're pretty fortunate with the group of guys we got, the environment that's there, the coaching and stuff like that. It's been an awesome year.
What does the spectrum of team goals look like this year, from little goals to the big goals?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is just playing our game, staying within ourselves. We all have a job, right? But we're talented enough to where we, you know, if someone doesn't get that big hit or something, it's the next guy that does it and things like that. But really staying within ourselves and winning that pitch, because when we win that pitch, I guess, you know, talking about it with coaches and stuff, it's win that pitch, you know, to win that inning, right, to win that game, right? If we can win every single inning and just kind of dial it back to that, or dial it back to that pitch, you know, we can be very successful for sure.
What is your pitch mix?
So
other than not having a cutter.
Yeah. I have a two-seam fastball, which I use on the, you know, facing the plate, the left side of the plate. So inside on a lefty or outside on a righty. Has more movement, more kind of sink, I guess, to the arm side. A four-seam fastball to the right side of the plate. Doesn't move as much, kind of helps me get into a righty. And then I have a circle changeup, a slider, and a curveball. Mm. So,
which is your favorite?
As of lately, my velocity has kind of been going up, so I've been loving the fastball.
Velocity's going up. Let's go.
Yeah, it's been super fun. I think, you know, a week and a half ago, I was up to 96 or 97, and so that's been super, super great to be healthy and to be throwing it there. But really, you know, when you can blow it by so with the fastball, I think it's pretty sweet.
Do you have a knuckleball cutter?
I do not. That would be really cool.
One day.
Yeah. Everyone wants to be Tim Wakefield pitching into their 40s.
Do they?
With that crazy knuckleball. That was quite the career for sure. Okay, fair to say that at this juncture of the season, one of the clear goals of this team is to make the Big 12 tournament. Mm-hmm. Is that where does that fall on the goal list?
Yeah, no, so... that's what we want to do. We want to, you know, keep playing. Whoever gets to play the longest is the winner, right? And so as we, you know, dissect it and stuff like that, we, you know, want to win, you know, as many games as we can to get there, right? But in order to do that, we have that goal to get there, but we kind of focus on the process that's going to get there, I guess, the best way to put it. You know, and that process is just one game at a time, one pitch at a time. And that'll come. That's the best part of baseball is there's so many games you play and stuff like that. And as you continue to win each pitch, you know, it's just a domino effect, right? And so, you know, we'll wake up one day and we'll be there, right? But we really have the talent to get there. We have the talent to win there. And, you know, I'm just excited to see where it goes for sure.
Top 10 make it.
Let's go. Do you carry any superstitions with you from game to game?
Nothing too crazy. There's some guys that are very, very superstitious and you kind of just respect it. But you know, there's things such as like, I don't step on the line. I don't put which cleat on first or things like that, but kind of just like overall basic things like not step on the line, or I'll tap my glove before I go out to the mound. Or I'll point at my catcher before I go out to the mound. I don't know.
Respecting the game type thing.
Too crazy,
right?
Yeah. Is it disrespecting the game? Step in the line. I think it's just a superstitious thing. Yeah.
Cutter, great to be with you on BYU Sports Station. Thanks for the time. Congrats on the four-game win streak. The series win against Texas and the win against Utah.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, good luck. And you can watch the Cougars take on Baylor on Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. 8 Eastern. Game 1 tomorrow night.
Up next, it's National Sibling Day, so. Who are the greatest BYU sibling duos in BYU sports history?
There have been a lot, man.
You tell us. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYUSN rolls on with our question of the day. Today is National Siblings Day. Who are your favorite siblings in BYU athletics history? At Kramer Holly on X Answers, for me, it's tough competition between the Nakua brothers, the Kafusi brothers, and the Haas brothers.
Those are pretty good, man. All-timers.
All right, here's your delete voice of the day. Brett McCormick on
X. The opposite of elite.
Answers Kyle and Freddie Whittingham.
Listen, they were awesome when they were here. They've defected.
Our delete voice of the day. Now, our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes from UT Perkins on Instagram, who says... Bauer to Bauer to Bauer on the court at the same time with the pass set and spike.
Yeah.
Extremely rare.
Oh, I freaked out when it happened. I was like, that's awesome. Sister to sister to sister. That's pretty cool.
Pass set kill is pretty incredible.
Can you imagine like if Gunner and Baylor had their brother was the center and snapped it so it was all of them in the battery,
if
you
will. It'd be unbelievable. It'd be like Kai Nakua throwing Puka. Like, it would be like a pitch, and then Puka throws it to Samson for a touchdown.
That would have been amazing.
Right? Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Women's Soccer Team of the Year for the State of Sport in Utah.
The State of Sport Awards.
Yes.
Our thanks to today's guests, Lauren Gustin and Cutter Clausen.
Sorry, Dennis, no time.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Randy and Robbie Reed. See you tomorrow. Go Cougs.
Oh, look at you.